Hello and welcome to another video Manna podcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my passion to take you through the Word each week. We are in the book of Genesis, and we're in chapter 27. So if you haven't, take a second to read through that, and you'll get much more benefit out of today's study. Today's, as always, Genesis is packed full of good stuff. And so in today's chapter, we get a front row seat to a dysfunctional family, and we get a glimpse of how sibling rivalry and potential favoritism is no match. It's not a hindrance at all for God to achieve his will and his plan. And so we've already seen, speaking of that sibling rivalry, we see that begin in chapter 25 with the birth of Esau and Jacob. And then in chapter 27, there's a couple of apex moments in the saga of Esau and Jacob to come. And we see one of those in chapter 27. And we also see, or have seen, that the parental favoritism began right after birth as well in chapter 25. And so really we have a continuation from chapter 25 through about 32, but we're in chapter 27 today. And we see in chapter 25, verse 28, this beginning of that parental favoritism when it reads, "And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob." And so the dad had his favorite and the mom had her favorite, and we get to see that play out today in chapter 25. And so in this chapter, we see a similar theme from chapter 25 to this chapter in this game that Esau hunted and ate, but then also previously when Jacob made for himself some stew, he bought Esau's birthright with that. So something about food and then the flesh is tied up in all of these chapters. And so we see how Esau chose to satisfy his flesh at the expense of his future. We saw that in chapter 25. And we also know that, as we saw in verse 28, that this is the reason that Isaac loved Esau, for his wild game food. And so some translations say call it red stew. But nonetheless, there's this fixation here with Isaac and Esau about satisfying their flesh. And so Isaac loved this food so much from Esau that as he's drawing near to death in our chapter today, that he called Esau to himself and requested that he hunt fresh and kill and make for him some of this recipe of wild game. And so in this, he also told Esau that it was his desire to bless him upon eating of this meal. And so for us, that might not seem like much. You know, I mean, we say bless you when someone sneezes, or if you're from the South, you might say, well, bless your heart. And I'm not quite sure that means what we think it means. But anyway, we're kind of disconnected a little bit from what Isaac is offering here in his blessing. The blessing Isaac speaks of is a transfer of inheritance to the one that is blessed. And so essentially, whatever the blessing is, that's what's being transferred to the one being blessed. And so this is where we see this dysfunctional parenting favoritism come into play. And it shows us another example of humanity's tendency to want to fulfill God's promises in our own strength and in our own way. Because remember in chapter 25, 27, God spoke to Rebekah as she was pregnant and told her that the secondborn, her secondborn, would serve the firstborn. Essentially that Jacob would receive the favor and the rule of Esau. So she's being promised this. And so we also know that Rebekah loved Jacob, and as she overhears Isaac setting up this blessing for Esau, whom he loved, she was bound and determined to bring the blessing to her favorite, Jacob. And so she jumped into action, which again, showing her disregard for the promise of the Lord in his timing, she thought she would take it upon herself. This promise from the Lord reads, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." And so, you know, this story has enough deception from Rebekah to see that the apple didn't fall far from her family tree in Jacob, right? Jacob received her deception gene. And she sent Jacob, after overhearing Isaac telling Esau to go hunt and bring back game, she sent Jacob to fetch and slaughter two young goats, right? Two domesticated animals, so that she could make a meal for Isaac to take to Isaac. And she told Jacob to put on his elder brother's clothing and to affix some of the goat's fur to the back of his hand and the side of his neck, all in this plot to deceive Isaac and bring about the blessing to Jacob. And so, you know, Isaac, he was old and he was blind, maybe a little bit confused, but the only hurdle to their plan was Jacob's voice. They'd figured out everything else. And Isaac was confused, and he did try to press the matter a few times, but eventually he was convinced that it was Esau, and he blessed Jacob. And so this blessing was a full, robust blessing that transferred nearly everything to Jacob. And it was only upon Esau's return that the jig was up. But by then, the blessing had been given, and the only blessing left for Esau was that he would live off the land, that he would be a man of war, and he would serve his brother. And in this short blessing that Isaac was able to give Esau, the kind of leftover blessing, was that it was an indication that Esau would rebel in this position and break the yoke of his younger brother's rule. And so this short blessing and the deception that stole it from him, the full blessing from him, this enraged Esau. And so he vowed to kill Jacob after the proper mourning period for his father had passed once he had died. And so Jacob rightly was afraid, and so was his mom. And so she petitioned him and sent him away so he would save his life from the wrath of his older brother. And he would spend some 20 years apart, and that story's coming. We'll see that in future chapters. But while we see Jacob would have some success in his exile, it would be nothing like we might imagine if he would have allowed the Lord to fulfill that promise in his own timing and his own way, right? So, you know, if we think about this, only Rebekah was aware of this promise that God had made to her, that the younger would serve the older, and we don't really know if it was known to everyone that Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob for that pot of stew, right? But perhaps if this was all known and brought into the light and a conversation was had with Isaac about all these details, that might have convinced him to give the blessing to Jacob in a forthright and truthful manner. Perhaps if they sought the Lord, you know, he would have confirmed his prophecy that Jacob would be the one to receive the blessing without all the deception. You know, after all, God did continue to remind them of the promises he had for Abraham. But we won't know that because that isn't what happened, right? And so we can only suppose. We can only deal with the text as we have it. Instead, what we see is more heartache and striving. And at the end of the day, despite Isaac and Rebekah's dysfunctional family, we see that God's will was done. The older will serve the younger. And Jacob was installed as the heir of the promise, as God's bigger plan to redeem a fallen world with Messiah is on its way now to being fulfilled. And so even our dysfunction can't stop God. And so until next week, stay encouraged and stay in the Word.